studying marriage, and as we see it in the Song of Solomon. I told you that I picked up a little book a few weeks ago, and it had suggestion about the way this couple treated each other, and I decided to just go through on my own and pick out every little innuendo as to how this couple treated each other. And tonight, I'm going to read for you and teach to you chapter 2 of the Song of Solomon, starting with verse number 8. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse number 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. And that word turtle was a word you call for turtle dove. It was a bird, and it was often called turtle, or we call it turtle dove. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely, how pretty. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the daybreak, and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe, or a young hart upon the mountains of Heather. Our Heavenly Father, almost every line in these verses give us a model of behavior between a husband and wife. I pray you'd help us tonight to increase our propriety, our expression of love, and all the proper treatment for those who are our husband and wife. Bless our study together, please. Amen. Let me remind you of the probable teaching of the Song of Solomon. Nobody knows for sure. We do know that it is a love story between two young married people. The usual interpretation is what we call the shepherd's theory. If that be true, and I think it may be, we have a young man and a young lady who loved each other very much. Young man was a shepherd boy. Young lady was a Shunammite. And she's not part of the study. And the young man, for some reason, had to leave for a while his young bride. While he was gone, King Solomon saw this beautiful woman. And King Solomon wanted her for his harem and offered to her all kinds of delicacies and wealth and so forth if she would join his harem. She said, no, I won't do that. I'm in love with my shepherd boy. Now, this entire Song of Solomon has some of the sweetest and tenderest treatment between young husband and young wife you'll find anywhere. Tonight, we're going to continue. I've been teased my third Wednesday night. And tonight, I want to show you 14 different things in these verses, 8 through 16, the way they treated each other as a model. We're sort of going to eavesdrop again tonight and see how this young couple behaved toward each other. I want you to notice in verse number 8, start off with, the voice of my beloved. Let's stop right there. I ended our lesson last week by talking about how important communication is between a husband and wife. Look at me. Husbands and wives talk to each other, have conversation with each other. Now that means that you need to have something to talk about. That means that every wife, every husband ought to be somewhat knowledgeable about events and activities. If I would advise you young ladies who are marrying any lady, a married lady, find out what your husband's hobbies are. Learn something about those hobbies. Same thing about you husbands. Find out the taste and the likes of your wife and learn something about those things. Then it's so important. Now, I do want you to listen to me very carefully now. I really want to help you. You can slough this off as just being something sort of funny if you want to, but I'll tell you what you can do. You can have your marriage transformed in the next few days, weeks, if you want to. So I'm saying it is so important that you keep the line of communication open with each other. Now, to do that, that means you've got to be alone a lot. That means you can't be around the kids all the time. I was reading today in the, I think it's USA Today, but some, no, maybe not. Maybe it was in yesterday in the York, Pennsylvania paper. By the way, I was bringing you greetings from the Kevin Trout, Mrs. Trout. And they're doing a wonderful work. They built a church up there running almost 800 in Sunday school now. And anyway, I was reading, it may have been the New York, Pennsylvania paper, it may have been USA Today, but I was reading about the danger of the danger points for divorce, for example. The article said that surveys have found out that if you can make it for 25 years, that you will grow closer to each other after 25 years. Now, they said the first 5 years are good years, but between the fifth year and the 25th year, that 20-year period there is the hardest period on a marriage, and more divorces come in that 20-year period between the fifth year and the 25th year than any other time. I wonder why. You know why. Because that's when you're rearing your children. That's when your children are starting to school. That's when you got all kinds of busy activities. You got to drive your kid here, and you're a mother, you're a taxi driver, and a taxidermist and everything else. And if you don't watch it, you won't have time for each other. Now listen to me, folks. Listen to me. You take time to talk to each other. Converse with each other. Communicate with each other. Now let's go on down to the next point. Verse 8, the voice of my beloved. Behold, I like this. He cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or young hart. Or look at me. Second thing is, for your mate, keep physically fit. Now, I wish I could dwell on this about an hour. I want to tell you something. I have in one of my books, I think it's Buddhism and Lace, I'm not sure, I have this statement. With my body, I serve you. With my mind, I love you. I must keep my body well so I can serve you well. And I must keep my mind sound so I can love you properly. Something like that. Now look, don't you tell your mate that you love her, and then you're taking care of your body in such a slipshod way that you may leave her a widow for 40 years. I'm saying, if you love somebody, you'll want to be strong physically so you can serve them. And you'll want to be strong mentally so you can love them. I hesitate to get into this. I'm afraid I'll get in trouble. I would suggest, okay, I'll tell you this. I lost all the weight back out a few years ago. I asked Ms. Hiles, where she wanted me to get down to. And she told me. And I tried to hold my weight about what she said. We agreed between 190 and 195. And that's where I've been now. Before we took a little vacation, I dropped down to about 188 so I could enjoy getting back up to 195. But Ask a question. Wives, did it ever dawn on you what size your husband wants you to be? Then you ought to be that size. I know you've got thyroid trouble. Everybody does. Thank God for thyroid trouble. It's as convenient as the trains in Hammond. Anytime you're late anywhere, I got caught hung up by a train. But now listen to me carefully. If you love that woman, you're going to want to stay in good health for her. You love that man, you're going to want to stay in good health for him. I would suggest every woman in this room just go right up to your husband and say to your husband, how much would you like me to weigh? I'm going to guess he's going to say about 200 pounds less. Nobody's home, are they? But that's how much you ought to weigh. And you ought to keep physically fit. Please listen to me now. Please, don't be, let's laugh together, but I'm trying to get you to do something. Let's get this down. This is serious stuff. Some of you men, you don't take care of yourself. And you won't live to be 60 years old. And your wife's gonna be a widow for 20 years. All because you didn't love her enough to take care of yourself. Now you listen to me. This young man here, it says, he said, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. So I think he's in pretty good shape. My beloved's like a roe or a young hart. Now, I'm up in years, as you know. But I'll tell you what you do. You check any young man you want to as a preacher, and let me compare my work with his. Let me compare the hours I spend with his. And you put me on the same platform with any preacher in America. I don't care if he's 25, 30 years old. And you see who's the most active while he preaches. Now you listen to me. If you love that woman, you will want be in good health. She said, and she's proud of him. She's like, this is how I love to tell people how much I weigh. And I love to tell people that. But anyway, and both of us weigh every morning. Every morning. And I promise you this, her weight doesn't waver 2 pounds. Never. Never does. Somewhere between 195 and 197 all the time. I told her I wanted to get down to 190. But no, listen. You love that woman, then you be in good health. But you love her so much, you're going to go on to heaven and play tag with the angels while she's down there trying to make a living alone. If you love that man, you ought to be in good health. And by the way, you ought to do what you can to stay as pretty as he wants you to stay and stay as healthy as he wants you to stay. And some of you guys, what you going to do? You're gonna eat yourself to death, and you're gonna not take care of yourself, and you're gonna get a hernia or something, never have it checked into. And what you're gonna do is this: you're gonna die, and your wife's gonna collect that $200,000 insurance policy and marry somebody else, and he's gonna enjoy your money. Boy, not me, buddy. I'm gonna live to. She ain't gonna get nobody else. But I'm trying to tell you that this woman said, my lover, my husband, my beloved, is like a roe, like a young hart. I took some preachers down to Nassau who won the pastor school contest. And all of them are younger than I. We had to walk a good distance down to a boat. Don't catch a boat and have a little boat ride. And two of them came to me and said, we can't keep up with you. I'm talking about young fellows now, 35, 40 years of age. We can't keep up with you. You're walking too fast. Of course, I was on skates, but, oh, listen to me. I'll do you a favor. I'll do your wife a favor. That's immeasurable. If I can talk you men into staying in decent health and shape. And if I could, I do your marriage a favor. If you ladies would decide that you're going to stay in good physical shape. So, first few things we see tonight about these two lovers. One is they learned to talk and communicate. Number two, they kept physically fit. Look at verse 9. This is really cute. I probably shouldn't even read it and explain it, but here it is. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Now here it is. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. This guy's window peeping on his wife. This guy wanted to be with her. And that's the next thing I want to say. Want to be with each other. Have your hobbies together. Some of you guys play golf with your buddies twice a week. Let your wife learn how to play golf. I'm not against you. Yeah, I am too. I'm against these guys who'd rather be with each other than be with their wives. And these women that'd rather be with each other than be with their husbands. Love to be together. Do things together. Go places together. He said, boy, if he wasn't there where she was, he hung around the place. He looked in the window. He wanted to be with her. And that's what you ought to do. Learn to want to be with each other. The phone rang. I'm home. And somebody will say, Ms. Howell, that's the phone. And they'll say something about a question they want to ask her. And she'll say, I'm busy right now. Could you call me back? Now, why does she do that? Because she's not going to have a long conversation on the phone while I'm home. You know why? I'll kill her if she does. No. Listen to me now. You talked enough to each other. Listen to me now. Enjoy being with each other. Be more than just roommates. And I say this very carefully now. Be more than just lovers. Be best friends. I've said before that friendship is not a relationship. Friendship is a mortar that holds relationships together. Husband and wife will not stay together unless they're also friends. Mother and the daughter, mother and son, father and daughter, father and son, brother and sister. Those are relationships. But friendship is not a relationship. Friendship is what everybody ought to be to everybody who is a relationship with them. And if you stay a friend, if your wife is your best friend, you're not going to have much trouble. If your husband is your best friend, you're not going to have much trouble. All that I said, want to be close to each other. Now look at verse number 10. My beloved spake and said, and I think it's so beautiful, rise up, my love, my fair one. Look at me. Next thing I want to say is, be sweet when you wake up in the morning. Look how they woke up. My beloved spake and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one. Is that what you said in the morning? When's breakfast? Now listen to me. One of the sweet... Boy, I'd love to take you couples into this and explain and talk into this. Be sweet to each other in the morning time. Tender words, kind expressions. Start the day off being friendly and sweet to each other when waking up. In other words, start the day lovingly. All right, I said number one, converse. And that's what they're doing here. Converse. I said number two, keep physically fit for each other. I said number three, want to be with each other. I said number four, be sweet when waking up. Now look at verse number 10 again. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one. And that leads me to say this. Have sweet little pet names for each other. Like Silver Fox. Have. Now, I mean that. Have a... Now, I present our daughters. I call all of our daughters Puddin'. I see Cindy. Hi, Puddin'. No, we, all three of them, always call them Puddin'. That's the word. I always call Dave Doc. That's all. And I always call Miss Hobbs on your business. But I love little pet names. Now, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but this house has a pet name for me. I think it's Rover. Oh, brother. Bulldog, that's what it is. That's what it is. Now, wait a minute. I'm talking about folks that have been married 40 years now. I'm talking about folks that have been married 25 years. I'm talking about little pet names for each other. Sweet, affectionate names. I was at church preaching. Pastor's going to ask his wife something. And he said, Mother, do you know what the answer to that is? I jumped up. I'm sitting over here. Jumped up. And I said, is she your mother? He said, it's my wife. I said, then you lied. You called her mother. And I was cutting up, but I was serious too. I said, what an awful thing. Call her whoopsie whoopsie, sweetie weepsie, lovey dovey. Call, but don't call her mother. What a flattering name. You've heard the story. His house and I took our granddaughter and her husband out to eat. They had just gotten married several years ago, and they came up here. She came to introduce her husband, so my grandson-in-law and my granddaughter. We took her out to eat. Over to a real nice restaurant. I forgot the name of it, but it had golden arches above it. And we took them out to a real nice restaurant here to eat. We're sitting there, and I was sitting here. My grandson-in-law was here. My Miss Isle was here. My granddaughter over here. A waitress came up. And she said, may I take your order, please? I said, waitress, this is a big night for us. A big night. She said, is that right? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, pointed to my granddaughter, I said, this is my kid's sister. You call that lying. I pointed to my grandson-in-law, and I said, this is my younger brother. I pointed to Miss Hiles, and I said, this is our mother. I thought the gal would understand. Miss Hiles looks 10 years younger than I do, and I thought she'd understand. But she didn't, because she was a Yankee. Yes. Amen, they said. So, I forgot about it. I said, this is a big day because this is Mother's birthday. And I said, my kid sister, my younger brother and I are celebrating Mother's birthday. I thought the gal knew better than that. Meal was over, looked up, there came 13 waitresses walking toward our table, and our waitress carrying a birthday cake that big. A candle burning in the middle of it. 13 people sang, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear mother. My whole life flashed in front of me. And yet, of course, I was just kidding. We drove home, just the two of us. One of the quietest rides you've ever seen in your life. I drove about 3 miles an hour. We got home and I said, what'd you say? I said, I'm sorry. With a little sweet southern drawl, she said, what for? I said, you know what for. I said, everybody thinks you're my daughter. You are 10 years younger than I am. And I thought that stupid Yankee, what waitress would understand? And I said, I'm sorry. And she said, I thought that was fun. You call that lying also. Now, the truth is, I did the joke. But some of you rascals call your wife mother all the time. If she'll come to me, I'll give her a good lawyer's address and phone number. Now, the truth is, you ought to have sweet names for each other. Now, let's go down to the next one. Look at verse number 10 again, please. My beloved spake and said, rise up, my love, my fair one, By the way, you'll find in verse 14, he says, "Oh, my dove," he calls her his dove. In verse in verse 10, my love. That's, by the way, you amazed. How many of our words and colloquialisms we get from the Bible? That's where we get lovey-dovey. Right there. He said, "Oh, my love," and "Oh, my dove," and we get the word, the term lovey-dovey. Now, look at verse number 10 again, please. "My beloved spake and said to me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." So, I have here, go places together. Go places together. Every young couple that has children needs to go somewhere overnight regularly. I don't mean every week necessarily. But you need to go places alone with each other. Now, ladies, you listen to me. I know how you are. You friend about, nobody take care of my kids like I can. Now, you go ahead and talk like that. You're taking care of them by yourself the rest of your life. Now, the truth is, you need to get to know each other. And I'm going to make you mad now. I've never thought that women ought to take vacations alone. Our husbands all take vacations alone. I've never thought that at all. I just don't think it's a good idea. But say the least, go places together. Now love verses 11 to 13. Look at it. What it is. "For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds has come." It's springtime, you see. "And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Now, what is it? They enjoyed nature together. He said it's springtime. The fig tree is blooming. And he said the flowers are appearing. He said, let's go look at the flowers. And I'll say, enjoy nature together. You know what we enjoy doing? We'd have to go to the forest preserve and hunt for deer. I don't mean boom, boom. I mean, we'll drive about 3 miles an hour through a whole forest preserve. And I'll tell you what, half the time we find some deer. One afternoon we found 40 deer. We found, a few weeks ago, we found 7 in one day. And then we also like this. We enjoy, in this time of year, driving and looking at the color of the leaves. Take your wife, and wife, don't say, "Oh, I've got too much." Oh, God bless your stupid soul. There's a word for people like you that's called divorcee. You get together sometime during this fall, and just you want to drive. You drive up Michigan somewhere, and you don't have to go very far. You take about 3 hours and get you a babysitter, and take about 3 hours. And drive and enjoy the beautiful autumn leaves and the trees and the autumn time. Enjoy nature together. They did. So, they conversed. They kept physically fit. They enjoyed being close to each other. They were sweet to each other in morning time when they woke up. They had pet names for each other. They went places together. They enjoyed nature together. Now look at verse 14. "Oh, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stars." Look at them now. There ought to be secrecy. And no young couple ought to divulge their intimacies to anybody in the whole wide world. No woman ought to share the intimacies the intimacy she shares with her husband, anybody in the whole world. I'm going to explain that in a minute. And no man ought to do the same thing. There ought to be that little secret between you, that little place, that little holy of holies, that little white chapel where the two of you are, and ought to be something that nobody else ever hears you talk about, except following. Every couple needs to agree on somebody to whom they can go when they have a problem. When I talk to couples getting married or couples having marital problems, I always say, I said to a couple last week, going to get married soon. I said, you decide on somebody who loves you and is knowledgeable about marriage and who will not be disappointed when they find out that yours is not the perfect marriage. And you agree that when you have the slightest marital problem, you go to that person. I'm going to give you some. And share it with that person. But don't go to your, don't get on the telephone, call your friend and tell your friend about some troubles you're having. There's nothing in the world that a man hates any more than for his wife to talk about their relationship with some other woman. Nothing. And first place, it's betrayal of confidence. But that one person is so vital. Years ago, a couple got married in our church, middle-class couple. I'm talking about inner circle. I thought the kind that dad may have been a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or an usher. Mother may have been on the staff. I'm talking about an inner circle kind of a couple got married in my church. And I'd say middle class or upper middle class, sharp. The same week, a couple of socially and financially lower class kids got married. And didn't have much and didn't know a great deal. But just down south, they'd call them hillbillies. I don't like that term because I are one. But this lower class, and I don't like that because nobody's lower class. But you know what I mean? Socially and financially, they got married. I think there's one got married one day and one got married the next. The couple that was sort of ignorant went on a little honeymoon. They came back, and they came to my office the next night. Said, "Brother Jack, we got a problem." I said, "What is your problem?" "Well, Brother Jack, it's our problem." And they blurted it out. I mean, and it was a very confidential thing. It was, I blushed. And they said, "Can you help us?" I picked up my telephone. I called Dr. Dennis Streeter. I said, "Dr. Streeter, there's a couple here that has a problem. It's scaring me." I said, "I believe a little outpatient surgery in your office can care for it." He said, "Send them right over." Dr. Dennis Streeter, in 15 minutes, a little outpatient surgery, took care of that couple, and from that moment forward, they're on a honeymoon. Wait a minute. This middle-class couple was too proud to come. They had the same problem but never told anybody because they were too proud to share it. For 7 years, they lived in hell. For 7 years, their marriage was miserable. And then they decided to get a divorce. I heard about it, called in the office. I said, "Look, don't do it. Let me help you." I found out that they had the same problem this other couple had, got married in 24 hours with them. I picked up the telephone, called Dr. Dennis Streeter. I said, "Dr. Streeter, there's a couple here I believe you can help and solve their problem." They went to Dr. Streeter, and I'm being very, very delicate now. I'm very careful in my speech. They went to Dr. Streeter, and in a matter of 15 or 20 minutes of outpatient surgery, the thing was cured that could have been cured 7 years before. 7 years of a miserable marriage on the verge of divorce. What was the difference? One couple agreed to go talk to the preacher when they had a problem. And the other couple were too proud. But then it says again. It says here, "Thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs." Now listen to me carefully. Nothing wrong with you choosing somebody, like I just said, to go to when you have a problem. But young ladies, you keep the secrets of intimacies to yourself. And don't be blabbing it to some of your good friends. And young men, the same way. Don't you get with some of the guys at work or on the golf course or the fishing hole and start talking about the problems you've got with your wife. Secrets. intimacies with each other unless you've got to have somebody that you've chosen to go to. All right? Look at verse number 14. O love, O my dove, thou art in the crevice of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. Now, he said they're in the secret places. They like to be alone. That's the question. I know a couple sitting right here. When they celebrate their anniversary, they have somebody else go with them. Dumb, 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 dumb. Now, I'm saying, couple, I'm in trouble here. But too many couples are spending too much time with other couples. It's dangerous. You should never have, like it or not, I know what I'm talking about. You should never have one couple that is your bosom buddy friends. They're your bosom buddy friends. And where you're with them all the time. I could count over and over and over and over again problems that have arisen because of that. Now the truth is, what's wrong with being alone? You ought to enjoy being with each other. And be alone. Now then, I'm going to get down to your language now. Verse 14. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. That's what my wife says every time I sing. It will be worth it all. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and get this, and thy countenance is comely. Now look, in spite of all I've said, there's nothing wrong with choosing somebody that's not bad to look at. Now, look should not be the main thing that caused you to get married, but nothing wrong with choosing somebody. You got to look at them across the table the rest of your life. Nothing wrong with you liking what you look at. I don't understand why some of you got gals married a guy you got. I'd throw up if I'd eat breakfast across from him. I don't understand how Miss Paul Burke can live. I don't know. Ezekiel, in the 24th chapter I looked up a while ago, his wife died, and the Bible says Ezekiel chose someone, I'm quoting now, the Lord says she is the desire of thine eyes. So there's nothing wrong with choosing someone that you think is pleasant to look at. Now you don't have to choose the Miss America of 1996, but you should. But there's nothing wrong. But that should not be the only or the main criterion. Listen to me now, what you choose. So there's nothing wrong with choosing someone pleasant to the eyes. Then, in verse 14, it says, sweet is thy voice. Let me hear thy voice. Sweet is thy voice. That means listen to each other. They listen to each other. When you talk, you don't have to do all the talking. Let him talk a while. Let her talk a while. Did you hear that? Well, of course, they met 5 years before he said good morning. Be a good listener. And then look at verse number 14 again. Last line. Thy countenance is comely. He told us she's pretty. How many people think your wife is pretty? Don't raise your hand. If you think she's pretty, tell her. If you don't think so, why? With your fingers crossed, of course. I've said many times, I never saw an ugly woman. I saw some pretty close. I never saw an ugly woman. I think a woman is the most beautiful creature that God ever made. You folks, I've been here very long. Don't get too cocky because my second most favorite animal God's ever made is a horse. To me, the second most beautiful creature God ever made is a horse, and the most beautiful is a woman. And it was a decision for me whether to marry a horse or a woman. But I tell your wife she's pretty. Now, look at verse 15. Pick the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. What's she saying? I think she's saying this. Realize it's the little things that destroy marriage. I think I may have told this last week. I'm not sure I did, didn't, but you ought to hear it again. If I stayed in this house, I'll be home 5 o'clock. I'm home 5 o'clock. Not sure I've asked for that. I go home for dinner usually. If I'm going to come back and work at the church tonight, I go home and we eat at 4:30. Now, I don't get home 4:30. Get home 4:31. I get home 4:30. The other day I called her. I was one block from the house. It was 4:30. I was going to be 1 minute late. I was one block. Called her from a car phone and told her, I said, I'll be there in a minute. I'm going 1 minute late. Got hung up by a train. But I mean 1 minute late. And I called her. If I am not exactly on time or early, she gets a call from me. Before I had a car phone, I'd stop on the way home if I was going to be late. I'd stop at a pay phone. I'd call her. Little things. Little things like a woman having a meal that's warm and the husband's late and the meal is cold. Little things like kindnesses and courtesies. I'm talking about please and thank you and you're welcome and pardon me and opening the door. We go to the shopping center. And I'm not a good example of this. But we go to the shopping center. I don't park out in the parking lot somewhere. I drive to the front door of the store. We go to Marshall Fields. I drive right to the front door of Marshall Fields. I don't care if it's summertime, wintertime, raining, 70 degrees, or 10 below zero. I drive up to the door at Miss Howell's house. I drive out, find a place to park somewhere in the parking lot, and then come up to the door, and she waits for me at the door. When we come out of the store, she waits at the door. I don't like this, but she makes me do it. But she waits at the door. I go out and get the car and drive. And if it's wintertime, I get the car warm before I come up to the door of the store. And I get her at the door. Open the door for her if anybody's watching. We have two cars. We have a two-car garage. And if I'm driving in, we're driving in together. I stop before I drive in the garage. Let Miss Hiles out so she won't have a hard time getting out in the garage. Now, what can I say? I'm trying to say you ought to spoil your wife with little things. And spoil your husband with little things. I won't mention that. Of course, little things I would have hit me in the back of the head. And I don't have much padding back there. We never express disagreement. If Ms. Hiles says something about, I don't like this food, if I like it, I don't tell her I like it. If she says I like it and I don't like it, she doesn't know I don't like it. I never express a disagreement and she never does with me either. Never. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. I recall one time, I won't tell you which child this was, one of our children married, had a child, and Ms. Hiles said to me at the breakfast table one day, I wish, and she called the name of the child, I wish that they wouldn't use babysitters so much. Let's suppose it was Cindy. And she said, I wish Cindy and Jack wouldn't use babysitters so much. Now what I wanted to say was, what cotton picking business is it of yours? But I didn't say that. Oh, I wanted to say, remember when your mother said something about us about 140 years ago? But then I said, by the way, Cindy wasn't well. How's she doing? Now, she probably knew that I was trying to avoid controversy. I don't want controversy. I'm not going to have controversy. I mean, if I don't agree, I don't care how little the thing is, I'm not going to express a disagreement. Well, I'm just me. That's your problem. You're going to be lonely you one of these days, too. It'll be just you one of these days. I took a poll several years ago. I did a study of all the couples I'd married who'd gotten divorces. I found that every single divorce was caused by one or more of four things. Number one, finances. Financial disagreement. Number two, disagreement on discipline of children. Number three, interference from in-laws. And number four, maladjustment in physical romance. Every single divorce of 40 years of ministry of people I've married were caused by one or more of those four things. Now, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the little things what cause your problem. It's the little things. That woman behind me is brave. There are many, she's been alone thousands of nights in our marriage. I've come home at 3 o'clock in the morning and the doors weren't even locked. She's not scared of anything. A fellow tried to kill me over here one Sunday morning. And he came to get me the next week and the door wasn't locked. He walked up to our bedroom, his house, up in the bedroom alone. He walked up there. So we're with the house. She said, get out of here. She scared the guy to death. She chased him out. He tried to kill me, and she chased him out. But you let a cockroach walk across our kitchen. We're both on top of the table. It's the little things. The spiders, the cockroaches. Kindness. Tenderness, gratitude. How long has it been since you said thank you to your mate? Or if he or she said thank you said you're welcome. The most courteous place that you ought to be is inside the walls where you live. And then, I love verse 16. My beloved is mine. You get that security she had? Huh? He's mine. Secure. She knew he was hers. And then look at it. And I'm his. That means give your mate security. Feel it. And tell it. Be sure that your husband or wife feels you love them. And feels the security of being yours. And then you tell them, I'm yours. And I'm glad you're mine. I've given you 14 things tonight that will transform your marriage. I gave you that many or more so last week. Different ones. I've probably given you 35, 40 things in the last three Wednesday nights. And you say, oh, this is silly. The silly things are what you need to take care of. I said tonight, converse. I said, keep physically fit. I said, want to be close to each other. I said, be sweet to each other when waking up in the morning. I said, have pet names for each other. I said, go places together and enjoy each other with hobbies and so forth. I said, enjoy nature together. I said, do not divulge your intimacies to anybody unless it's someone on whom you've agreed when you have a problem. I said, like to be alone. I said, choose someone pleasant to the eyes. I said, be a good listener to each other. I said, tell her that she's pretty. I said, realize it's the little things that destroy marriage. I said, give your mate security. And when you feel security, let your mate know that you feel it. So important. Shall we stand, please?